Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, Billy G's Carolina Barbecue presents the national anthem at noon every day right here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Billy G's CarolinaBarbecue.com to order your catering, and also CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com to have the Sweet Heat, the Carolina Gold, or the Secret Spice Rub delivered right to your doorstep. Yeah, man. Makes everything better. If you can't cook, this will make you a better one in a hurry. Billy G's CarolinaBarbecue.com. Graduation season is here, so if you need to get your party catered, you need to get to Billy G's CarolinaBarbecue.com. They are on fire, the College of Charleston Cougars. How about that? 25-10. They've won five in a row. Last night they spanked that other team in Charleston. They're up there in North Charleston, Charleston Southern. Prior to that, they swept Monmouth. Prior to that, they spanked Charleston Southern. Prior to that, they won the series against UNCW, and the list goes on and on and on. And let's see if I can get Coach Holbrook in trouble here. So the latest Baseball America projections have Northeastern winning the league and playing in Columbia, South Carolina as the 3 seed. Now, wouldn't that be something to have those Cougars and Northeastern swapped out just up the road? Oh. Let's make it uncomfortable around here. What's up, man?
a lot of baseball to be played between now and then.
Are you looking at these yet? Do you look at the projections?
No. No offense. There's no way to predict that stuff. And Aaron Fitt and those folks do a great job of picking the teams, and they'll probably get close to all of them but one or two. But picking the regionals and where they get sent to, that's a really tall order. And I'm just trying to go 1-0 our next game. Honestly, I mean, a few weeks ago we were 13-9 and scuffling, and now we're 25-10 and playing some good ball. And we gotten healthy, and some guys in the bullpen have stepped up. And we got incredible challenges in front of us, and there's certainly going to be some speed bumps along the way. But I'm proud of my team as we sit here right now.
If you want to watch them this weekend, you can in the Lowcountry, 4 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, William and Mary will be in town to take on the Cougs. So have you played guitar for your team yet? Have you
sung any? No, I haven't played for my team. Heck, I'm supposed to might play tonight. I'm supposed to talk to
really? My buddy.
I'm probably supposed to go to home team and be a part of a gig and maybe play Can't You See, the old three-string, three-chord wonder, you know? don't want to challenge me too much during the season, you know. Not singing it, I would just play it. But we'll see what happens there. I don't take the guitar on the road. I got my team to worry about. But, man, that being said, we just had an incredible podcast. I can't wait for people to hear it. And Gamecock fans are going to love the podcast guest next week.
I bet they are.
Next week is going to be one for the ages as we welcome Stephen Garcia to Chin Music. And those conversations about old Steve Spurrier and the Alabama game and the Peach Bowl and good, bad, ugly.
Ask him how he feels about Alabama fans, Coach. He's big fan of the Crimson Tide faithful.
All kind of questions about coming at Stephen. He better be ready. And the other thing about it is Stephen's unfiltered, as we all know. And that's going to even make it better. You know, I think we'll get the answers that we're looking for.
When were we texting back and forth about this? A couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago, you and me and him. I hit him up a couple, like last, or I don't know, it hadn't been that long ago, just asking about some things, you know, don't want to say too much, but you know what I mean. And he's like, so when are we going out in Charleston? I was like, that's your response? That was it? You need to answer all these other questions.
We could show him a good time. I'd tell him where to go. I don't know if I'd have a good time along with him. He probably is a little bit more experienced in those categories than I am. But it's going to be a great conversation. I know a little bit more than he probably thinks I know because of my relationship with some of the coaches there. So some of the questions will be great. Some of the conversations should be awesome. I can't wait to sit down with Stephen next week. We had a great conversation today. Just got done off the recording with a guy by the name of Luke Lewis. And you'll probably say, well, who's Luke Lewis? Not many people know him by name. But when you dive into what he's done in his career, fascinating. He pretty much was one individuals. There's probably one of two individuals that got Shania Twain's career started. You know, he was a prominent figure on the Netflix documentary with Shania Twain. He managed and saw George Strait's team and shows and records. And from George Strait to Vince Gill to Shania Twain, Leanne Womack, Chris Stapleton. Whoa. The guy is a heavy hitter when it comes to managing some of the Mount Rushmore artists in Nashville. And it was an incredible conversation today. One of the most enjoyable ones we've had.
Does he live here?
Yeah, he's a member of Bulls Bay and lives in Charleston, and you know, and he's retired, but he's still chasing. And that's the thing that kind of tickles me about, you know, I kind of equated my job, like identifying talent and recruiting, very similar to what he did. So we talked about, hey, the swings and misses, the ones that we squared up and hit it out of the park. From the recruits that we missed on to the recruits that we hit on to the artists that he hit on to the artists that he passed on that have, you know, great stuff. And, but he's still, wow. He's retired and he's sitting on a porch and he's still listening to music. And because he has buddies in the business that he wants, hey, you might want to go take a look at this artist or, you know, and, it was a cool conversation. Somebody loves music. Yeah. You'll get a kick out of it.
You know, I do. Who's the biggest recruit you ever missed on? Can you say that?
Well, there's a number of them. You know, there's
who's that laughing back there?
Yeah, somebody thought
Colin. Colin. We actually talked about this on the podcast today. You know, there's a number I'd want back, but you know, we all swing and miss. The one I would want back if I was still at South Carolina. But you got to understand, sometimes in the recruiting cycle, you might not have a specific need in regards to a position. You know what I mean? You might not need a shortstop that year. Or, you know, in that year, it was a little bit difficult. But could I have made it happen? I could have. And that's one that still probably hits me a little bit. Pete Alonso. We could have had him. Yeah.
Say what?
That's one that hurts.
How did that go down?
You're man enough to mention say that.
You can't hit them. You can't. I mean, there's been others that I tried like crazy to get that missed.
So he would have been
the one that broke my heart the most. The one that broke my heart the most that you'll probably you'll have to go back into the, you know, of I did I recruited this kid as hard as I possibly could recruit him. And this is when I was at North Carolina. And I missed. He said no. He went to Stanford. His name was Sam Full. And Sam, obviously big in baseball now, Sam, when I was at North Carolina and I'm still trying to get to Omaha, Sam was the all-time hits leader in College World Series history. He went to Stanford. He obviously made the right decision for him at that time. I think he went three trips to the College World Series or four. But the neat thing is you stay in the fight. One of my recruits beat Sam Full, all-time hits leader in College World Series history, Dustin Ackley. So you know, but that being said, there's all guys. Pete Alonso, I wish I had back.
Hey,
sure.
Chad, you by not landing Sam Fold, you actually heard us out there in Palo Alto in 2001 because he wore us out in that Super Regional. Remember, that came down to a Game 3, 3-2 final. Could not get Sam Fold out to save
incredible
our lives.
Incredible player, incredible kid from Durham, New Hampshire. We thought in North Carolina we had him. He had a crush on Mia Hamm, and I was roommates, suite mates with Mia, essentially down the hall. And I had Mia recruit. I couldn't have done it better. And he said no to me and Mia. he went on to Stanford and had a great career, and is still in baseball. A great guy, great family. But yeah, Sam was that was one that broke my heart. I might have cried on that one. But that's the beauty of recruiting.
What I'm trying to think back, what years would Alonzo have crossed over at Carolina?
You shouldn't ask me that. I'm old too, but let me see when he graduated.
I can tell you because I had some of his regionals. He would have been around, I would say, like 13, 14, 15 in that range.
Right, yeah. And we had a couple first basemen on pretty big scholarships, and sometimes the finances of college baseball makes it hard to work. And yeah. I think we could have had Pete. He probably, but he might have been sending the same emails and talking the same jargon with three or four schools. But felt like I wish I had gave greater effort on that one. But we all, as coaches, that list is long. I mean, that's a long list. There's other guys that we didn't chose to recruit that went on to be great players. And there's other ones that on the flip side that weren't great high school players that turned out to be all-time College World Series greats, i.e. Michael Roth and Jackie Bradley Jr. So you win some, you lose some.
That's a good point. I was listening to Smoke last night. Smoke was at the Carolina game downtown, and he went up there and sat in the booth with Coach Lake for an inning on the radio. Did you recruit him out of high school?
It was a foregone conclusion that he was a Gamecock. Yeah. Coach Tanner was not letting him get out of South Carolina. And
not at all.
I was familiar with, obviously very familiar with him and watched him play. I remember watching him and Reese Havens play all the time down in Atlanta. It's like, man, I'd love to have these kids. I actually probably recruited Drew Meyer harder than anybody in the state of South Carolina. And Drew, it was tight with Drew there for a while, but Coach Tanner's hard to beat when it comes to letting kids out of the state of South Carolina.
He beat Lasorda on him, for crying out loud. 600 grand right in his face from Tommy Lasorda.
That was a great story too. And I knew after losing Drew, it would be really, really hard to get Smoke. So, you're not going to walk into Coach Tanner's backyard and beat him with out of state tuitions and that just ain't happening. I remember watching Justin and Reese play in high school, and man, what phenomenal players! And obviously, I tried like crazy to get Drew, but you generally. And hey, I'll tell you this story. I was one of the only schools that recruited really, really hard Kip Balknight, and I tried like crazy to get Kip when I was at North Carolina, and South Carolina wasn't so sure about him at that time in high school. And I think after his freshman fall, to be quite honest with you, they didn't know if he was going to be good enough to even pitch at South Carolina. But that's another great story in and of itself of what, you know, him becoming Golden Spikes Award winner. And there's a lot of fascinating recruiting stories. We could have a whole hour or two segment on that, you know, from the ones that we missed, the ones that we got, the stories behind the ones that we got, the stories behind the one that we missed, what could have been, what should have been. We were one minute away from adding the 2010 team to adding Drew Meyer. I mean, excuse me. I'm drawing a blank. It'll hit me here in a second.
Where's
a
big league
all star. My gosh, from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Oh, you talking about Seeger? No.
Yeah, we signed Corey. We were one pick away from getting Corey. We would have added Corey. Would have been a shortstop. Christian Walker would have been our first baseman on the 2012 team. We were really close. Why am I drawing a blank on one of my favorite players? Senior moment I'm having.
What position?
He was a catcher out of high school, but he turned into a – played for the Padres for a long period of time. National League Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I see him.
No.
It was
– I'm drawing – he played for the Bears. Why am I drawing a blank on him?
Where is he now?
He just got released. I think he's just out of pro baseball now. But he played for the Padres a long period of time as an outfielder.
Tall kid, yeah.
Yeah, catcher for the Dirt. Holy, hold on, it'll hit me in a second.
It's a big, was your friend.
Wasn't Jake Peavy, was it?
No, he was a catcher, but they moved him to the outfield.
Oh shoot,
in pro ball. I can see him. He's a big kid.
It tells you how
Myers, the Myers kid.
Yeah. Will Myers.
Will Myers.
Well, that's why I got Drew. Yeah, Will Myers. So we were that close to having Will Myers, Corey Seager, Christian Walker in the same infield.
Myers was a catcher with speed that stole bases in the bigs.
Yes.
He was no joke.
We were, and this is a great story for our listeners. This is the heart of Coach Tanner. I was in this room when this call happened. It got to the very, very end. Drew, he was not going to sign. I keep saying Drew. He was not going to sign for a penny under $2 million. And his mom was, if it's $1.999 million, he's going to South Carolina. She was telling the organization that very story up until the end. They called her bluff. And literally, we're down to the last hour. And the GM or the assistant GM for the Royals at that time, a guy by the name of J.J. Piccolo, and Coach Tanner were on the phone. And Coach Tanner said, listen, his mom told you that it wasn't going to be a penny under $2 million. Y'all called his bluff. The kid wants to come to South Carolina. And I'm having a hard time telling that kid to turn down that amount of money. He said, but here's what I'm going to do. So he doesn't have to take a penny out of his pocket to come to South Carolina. I'm going to put him on full scholarship right now. And you've balked on the $2 million and he's going to come to college and he's not going to pay a dime. And because I wouldn't feel good if he had to pay a dime based on turning down that amount of money. And conversation was over. And I knew, and Coach Tanner knew, he got off the phone. He said, they'll sign him for $2 million now. And he knew that. He knew that, hey, I'm going to make sure that family ain't paying a penny to come here. He knew that would make the organization do it. And he did it for the kid.
Wow.
And literally 15 minutes later, they called and family called and said, they gave us what we asked for.
Wow. Dude. Coach Tanner, man, he's always
– there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that people don't really understand. And he was a master – he's a master at that. And but he knew, you know, one, he could sleep at night if he knew that if he did come to South Carolina, he wouldn't pay a penny. But he also knew from the bargaining aspect, if he told the Royals that kid wasn't going to have to pay and that mama was – told you if it was a penny less, he was going to school – they knew right now, oh, shit, we're going to lose this kid. He's going to school. And so they got to their number. And Coach knew they would get to their number if the conversation went that way.
So how is that situation, a situation like that, without names, obviously, How is that handled the majority of the time by college coaches?
Well, I'll tell you the Corey Seager story. I think that's a good story. So Corey Seager was represented by Scott Boras. And obviously there was a number of – when you're represented by Scott, there's only three or four – at that time, there's only about three or four organizations that would deal with him that would, like, knew that the number was going to be so high that they'd just pass. And I was on the phone – with a member of the Boras group about the 17th pick of the first round. And he said, if the Dodgers pass on Corey at pick 19, he's coming to school. He's coming out of the draft. And then obviously the Dodgers took him. I saw Corey Seager popped up on the 19th pick. I was hitting my house. I went, oh, I mean, my heart broke. But then I found out later, talking to the Dodgers, that they had three or four prospects for the 19th pick. And the old great scout and former college coach, Lon Joyce, was in that draft room with the Dodgers, and he fought really, really hard for Corey. And they almost picked someone else because they didn't want – they wondered about the signability. But we were literally one pick away, 1 minute away from getting both a rookie of the year in Myers and Corey's in a phenom in Corey Seager. It was really, really close.
Dude, that is nuts.
Corey's behind the scenes, you know?
The days, yeah. I mean, and I feel like these, not those specific stories, but I mean, I've heard, of course, plenty in my time too, nowhere near the ones that you would have, being directly involved in a lot of them, but they are diamond dust. The Major League Baseball draft is unlike any draft in athletics.
Right.
It's that you can't, there's not enough time in our program or in a work week to explain the dynamics that go into the draft. You probably think you've seen everything when it comes to a draft, the draft, and then you see something you've never seen before and you'll never see again.
Well, it's the draft is crazy, and college baseball recruiting is crazy. With NIL, it's getting even crazier. And I'm 53 and feel like I'm going on 73. So how much time do I have left?
Like, how do you think that would have changed the conversation back then, say, with Will Myers, if there was NIL around at the time?
Big time.
Do you think it would have?
Game changer. Yeah, it would have come to school. We might have had both of those guys. I mean, if ands and buts for candy and nuts, be Christmas every day. But you would certainly like to be in that fight, you know. I mean, hey, we can't give you $1 million, but we can give you $100,000 for 4 years. Hey, that makes mama feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but it's a different day and age for sure back then than it is now.
Yeah, it's crazy. And if you get drafted by Oakland, you might as well go to school because they don't even know what ballpark they play in.
They might be hitting. I guess they're heading to Vegas. I don't know.
I don't know. I think they're playing in like a minor league park or something.
Yeah, it's just being delayed. But they're barring some miraculous hang up at this point because they're just working on logistics of the stadium and everything. They're going to be in Vegas.
Yeah. Isn't it, Mike, isn't it like a 30,000 seat stadium in Vegas or something? 35?
Yeah, something in that ballpark.
They haven't built it yet. They're building where Tropicana is right now.
Right.
On the corner there across from New York. And
I think they'll do extremely well there. I mean, I think it's a,
oh, I do too,
a no-brainer. You know, we've been debating for years about Charlotte or Nashville, and eventually, hopefully, that'll be the next round because I think MLB will go from 30 to 32. 32 is the sweet number that everybody wants. The NFL has it. MLB wants it. The NBA probably will get there too. But for now, Vegas is just, it's the most logical thing. And the whole stain of gambling, and I say this in lieu of what happened at Alabama a year ago, guys, but the whole stain of sports gambling in Vegas and Pete, we're so past that now. We're so past that. I mean, the Hard Rock now in Florida, you don't even have to live there. If you're in the state of Florida on vacation or whatever, you can just go on your phone and bet on anything. You see DraftKings ads all over the place. More and more people are betting on things like baseball now than ever. So that was the hangup for years. Well, how can we justify we're telling everybody gambling's such a bad thing and never going to put a baseball team in Vegas? No, NFL's in Vegas. Once the NFL does something, everybody follows because that is the 10,000 pound gorilla. So you'll see the A's in Vegas and get out of that God forbidden stadium that nobody goes to or cares about in Oakland.
Yeah, NHL was there first, and then I think LeBron James, when he retires, will probably get an expansion franchise and put it in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is a growing place. I mean, everybody from California is getting out because of the taxes. And we say all that. Mike's little soliloquy about gambling came through as Jonte Porter just now got banned from life from the NBA for a gambling thing.
There's two big notes that are going to be in the Love Chevy drive around the SEC regarding that. And I met Jonte and Michael, and remember, they went to Missouri.
They were
because
to be
his father got hired as an assistant coach. His father was married to the women's basketball coach. And I can tell you that whole setup, and I don't know if, Chad, if you ever went through one of these where you kind of sell your soul to the devil, that whole thing drove the head coach, who's a good man, just got a job at, I think, Missouri State. And now I'm having a senior moment, Chad. It's contagious. He coached Tennessee, coached Cal, and now he
– Konzo Martin.
Konzo Martin, thank you. It drove Konzo crazy. Because there was a circus surrounding that whole family, and you bring on the dad because we've all seen this going back to Danny Manning's father taking a job at Kansas. You hire a father as an assistant coach, even though he can't coach his way out of a wet paper bag, to land the big recruit. And Michael was the big recruit, and Michael's still doing good things with the Nuggets. But here's Jonte, who barely made the league, and he's out there clowning and gambling millions of dollars. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? So he is banned for life by the NBA.
So how does his situation compare to Pete Rose? Does anybody know?
Was
he betting on his own team?
I don't know if he was I don't think he was betting on his own team, but he was definitely betting on the NBA and giving inside information. More and more details are coming out. This story has been kind of circulating for about a week. Okay. Yeah. So
he was passing along inside.
I've always been I remember when I was living in Columbia and you had a governor's race, and I don't talk politics, but one guy was trying to make it sound like if you approve of the lottery, you might as well have the Sopranos in the streets. Like, it's just like so stupid. I've always thought gambling should be legal, and I'm not even a big gambler at all, but I just think, you know, grown men, grown women, you've got a right. If you want to place money on a game, you can do it. People do it anyway. But then you have a situation where some people are just stupid about it. And, you know, Pete Rose was just stupid about it. And then Pete's adjusting his lineup based on the bets that they say he never bet, on the Reds, whatever.
I think he said against.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can set up my rotation and my line. You know this, coach, and my lineup, where I can enhance my odds of winning dramatically. Like, you can do that in baseball more than any other sport, because in basketball you can't change your starting five; it's too obvious. In football, you can't bench the starting quarterback; it's too obvious. But in baseball, I can fool around with my rotation, with my bullpen. I can fool around with my lineup. It's subtle enough where most people pick up on it.
Or you cannot start your Friday night guy at LSU.
That's right.
Yeah. Have you ever met Bo Hannon?
Very bright.
Have you ever met Bo Hannon?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Coach,
Well,
I was just going to say, since you asked, JB, I did several of Bo Hannon's games when he was a head coach, and I did several of his games when he was assistant coach. You tell me if I'm wrong. One of the nicest human beings in college baseball. If you were to have me pick one of 50 people that would be involved in something like that, he wouldn't have made the top 50.
Right. That's how I feel. We had him in Charleston just a couple years ago for a three-game
series. That's right.
And he couldn't have been nicer. I knew him well when he was at Kentucky as an assistant as well, when I was at South Carolina as an assistant. You know, we recruited a lot of the same kids, and I feel the same way as Mike. I never
there's people that you come across in the business and coaching that you could say, I can see it with him.
Yeah.
You would never see it with him. And I was as shocked as anybody.
So who do you think is betting on baseball? No, I'm just kidding. hey, the worst part about that entire story was the – and this guy literally is an idiot. The idiot that walked into the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati and threw the money at the guy and literally, like, showed him on his phone, like, no, you know, I got to get this money down now. And they were like, no. I mean, what? I don't – whoever he was in cahoots with on this deal, that's what buried him.
He's like James Woods' character in Casino. Like, he's just the knucklehead who's sitting there and calling Sam where they kidnapped his daughter, and he's calling him on a payphone and you know, traceable. Like, he's like, you just talk to him, and you don't think he can find out where you placed the call? Like, just not a really smart guy. So if you're going to run a scam of that level with six figures involved, you probably want a better front man than the guy they sent to make that wager. Not a very bright guy.
With a hair more discretion.
Yeah. Why are this moron? This guy just struts into the ballpark with $100,000 in his pocket.
You don't send Fredo Corleone to run the operation. You send Michael. They sent Fredo.
I remember when this was like first coming out, like we had Derek on, Derek Scott, and we didn't get all the info. We didn't have all the info yet. It was just Brian Bohannon. And I remember Derek was like, this is all gibberish. Brian Bohannon is one of the nicest humans on earth. Like, there's no way this happened. And then, 48 hours later, all the info came out, and Derek's on the next week. He was like, I was dead wrong. Brian Bohannon, I don't know if he's an idiot or if the guy that he's playing with is an idiot. But, you know, so here we are, and the guy can't.
I don't know if he was in financial straits. I mean, he got a pretty good contract out of Alabama. You know, Coach, I mean, SEC gigs pay pretty well. And he was in the program, and the program was moving in the right direction. I mean, much of Alabama's success today can be attributed to the breadcrumbs, the foundation laid down by Bohannon. So I can't understand it. Like, it's risk versus reward. Even if you're going to run some kind of scam, like, why that one? It just didn't add up.
No, it didn't. It didn't make any sense. And you got to think too that who busted him? Was it the SEC or not the Southeastern Conference?
When they took the game off the board, I think they alerted the league and the school.
Yeah, that's right.
The gambling commission. Somebody. It was, you know, one of those commissions.
When the game
got
taken off the board, I think they alerted conferences and schools, and maybe the NCAA as well.
I've been calling college baseball games for over 20 years. I didn't even know you could bet on a regular season game. I knew you could bet on Omaha. You could bet on some postseason. I never even knew that there was a line for that. And then, so obviously, here's what I do know about Vegas. Like, if you're going to run a scam like that, do it on a game that already has a lot of action. If there's a weird amount of money bet on something that very few people bet on, like an Alabama LSU Friday night regular season baseball game, that irregularity is going to draw attention. People are going to be notified. An investigation is going to follow. So this was just stupid upon stupid upon stupid. It was the easiest way to get caught if you're going to do something the equivalent of point shaving in a sport, so particularly a niche within a niche sport like college baseball.
Like, what do you think the investigator that got put on this, like, what do you think went through his head when the evidence was shown? Like, okay, we'll go to the video and they could see the phone. Yeah. And he's probably like, this can't be this easy. Like, you mean to tell me this is all I've got to do? This is it. This is all we have to do for this thing. And, I think he's got the show cause, right? So you have to show cause if you're going to hire him.
He's done.
This is worse than any recruiting violation. I mean, like Will Wade or Bruce Pearl. This is, you just don't go there. Yeah. He's done.
Yeah. I hope he's doing okay as a person. Man, that's Yeah, I mean,
well, you feel for the person,
no question.
And that's a chin, maybe this is a chin music for you one day. You know,
yeah, I'll reach out to him because we shared similar career paths, being an assistant at SEC schools and paying our dues and working hard and recruiting well. And it's just a sad story. It's just sad. And then, I've talked to over the years, having specialists come and talk to our teams over the pitfalls of gambling and how it's a disease. And then, you know, some people just cannot say no to it, just like you can't say no to a drink. And goes back to what the quarterback at Ohio State, Art Schleister, I guess, was in a big mess way back in the day, and he couldn't stop gambling. And some of those that gamble all the time just can't stop. And it would be a great conversation. Maybe I'll reach out to him.
Mm. Yeah, I wonder if he's ready to talk about it. And you wonder, how do you get in? What was like your first introduction to that? You got into it and.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, I think his story needs to be told to help others that maybe fight some of those same demons. And he could probably come away. You know, it's like the Chris Herron story, and I'm going to have Chris on Chin Music. He's telling his story so that he helps young people not go down the path that he went. And it's probably great therapy for him.
Yeah. I watched that, by the way, the one you sent me.
Oh. The 30 for 30.
The link you sent me. Yeah, well, Coach Holbrook texted me another link.
There's two.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Do you know him, Jack?
Yeah, we've become buddies.
Really? How did you guys cross paths?
So I reached out to him after I literally sat in my living room and watched Unguarded, which Unguarded was a little bit of a different spinoff of 30 for 30, but it's not ESPN, but it's – and I'm sitting there just bawling. I'm 50 years old, bawling at his story. Not only from his story, but what his wife went through to not only save the family, save the marriage. The heart that she has to forgive him and to help. I mean, it's an amazing story. So I reached out to him, and I got a call from him, and it probably wasn't 24 hours. And I was like, Chris, listen, I want you to come speak to my team. Which he did. I flew him down to College of Charleston, and he spoke to my team. And I'm telling you, he spoke to the entire athletic department, and he had people, my players, bawling, sobbing. And I was warned by Tim Corbin of Vandy. He's like, hey, when you bring Chris in, it's raw. And you prepare your people that it is raw. And as an organization, you have people there to support your people. Like, you have people there. To make another long story short, I had him come to Hammond because I wanted him to speak to my kids' high school. And he spoke to the kids during the day. He spoke to the parents at night. And the impact that he had, amazing, amazing what that guy can do.
It's an incredible story. For those that haven't seen it, that'd be a great interview if you can get him on.
He's already agreed to come on. He said anytime. And
outstanding.
It's going to be. And I love the guy. I love the guy just because one of his story, but two, what he's done since then. People don't even understand what he's opened treatment and rehab facilities. I mean, this guy was popping pills in his Boston Celtic uniform in the parking lot 3 minutes before he was announced as a starting five member of the Boston Celtics. He's popping pills trying to get high before he plays an NBA game. He shows up high at a hospital at the birth of his kid and has an overdose that very day. But what he's done to help young people and save his family, his wife saved the family. Chris has in turn saved himself. He's in turn helped millions and millions of young people fight the demons that he fought. And maybe from a gambling standpoint, that needs to be a top man. We need someone to, you know, maybe like Coach Bohannon or someone to come out and talk about it. May can help others.
Well, not to get off on like a crazy adult tangent here on a sports program, but and you bring this into the equation. I've joked about this for years, but actually, there's a part of me that means it. Like, if you want to find a way to keep youth out of the prison system when they're young, take them to prison and let them go see what these people go through. You want to stop teenage pregnancy? Give them a baby for a weekend and see if they can handle it. Right. You know what I mean? You want to stop some of the drug issues? Like, how do you get these people? Because the way that he does that is how he tells his story. Like, you mentioned the word raw, which is exactly right, but it's like, I'm not here. When I watched his videos, he's explaining to everybody, like, I'm not here to do this and this and this. Like, I'm gonna basically hurt your feelings. Like, I'm here to tell you what happened, and I'm just gonna tell you. And it's crazy.
When he spoke at Hammond, I can tell you this: parents had to be called to come help their kids, to come get their kids, and it's not out of they've given up, like they've collapsed, which is what you when someone's fighting some demons to get them to just fall in their mom's arms. I need help. You know, that's what he is a master at, is like, if someone needs help and you listen to his message, he has a way of reaching you. And one of my players at the College of Charleston collapsed in his arms the night he spoke to my team. I couldn't have paid him enough. I had to pay him a lot. It was a discount. And that's who Chris Aaron is. Beautiful.
Did you see a difference in your team after he spoke as to who they were as a group before?
You know, Charleston can have its way. You have to have some discipline to go to college in this city. There's things pulling you. And we all went to college and we all, you know, did our fair share of 12-ounce curls. Unfortunately, there's more than that around here. But I noticed a lot more humility. Heart, obviously, some people just gave in. I mean, and it wasn't just my sport. He spoke to every sport. And one of my players collapsed in his arms. But there was a couple other girls on our women's teams that did the same. And it's not because they were guilty or anything. It's because, hey, I needed this. I can't thank you enough for being here, and I need your help. And that's what he's been so good at doing. And if listeners want to listen to be moved one night or being, you know, having some demons pull at you, you Google, you know, the 360s or the ESPN Chris Aaron stories, and he has a way. I'm bringing him back. I hope to bring him back to my team this fall. And that's when I want to do the in-person chin music thing with him this fall. I think it would be more powerful if it's in-person. But hopefully we'll have a conversation here in the next week or two. Because I couldn't do anything more for my team than to have this guy talk to them. With the things that they go through as young people today, it's the best money I can spend.
Chad Holbrook, he is, we all know he's the head baseball coach at the College of Charleston, in case anybody forgot, because his career has taken off as the host of Chin Music as well.
Media mogul, Chad Holbrook. Oh, by the way, indeed. A coach.
Hey, you got to get one time when you have a color guy, like for a college baseball game, when my season's over, get sick. You can call me up, Mike. I mean, I need to do a comment.
I would love that.
Be good in the booth. Yeah.
I would love that. I talked to Ray and I said, you know, it'd be fun to do a Gamecock series at Founders with either Stu, who's already doing radio, yeah, or Ray, who likes to, you know, dabble in that. I'd be more than happy to partner up. We bring a lot of this type of stuff and insight to the game. I think
we got
great.
Some stories. We got some bus rides we shared. We got
plenty. It's one of those where if the game, and this is the beauty about baseball, unlike football, basketball, when you're calling a baseball game and it gets out of hand early, as every now and then they do, you know, it's 8-1 in the third. I had a super regional, Auburn and North Carolina, a few years ago. And it was game three of Omaha on the line, and Auburn puts up a 13 spot in the top of the first. And I'm looking at Gabby Sanchez, and he's looking at me like, okay, we got a lot of filler time here.
We would have no problem with filler. Me and you
that's what
have
I'm no saying. Problem with filler. We would have no problem with that filler time. So that's what I always want with an analyst on baseball is like, I know you can tell me, should we send the runner here? Should we yank the pitcher here? What's wrong with his swing? I also need a guy when the game is bad who actually can provide content. And that's the great ones are able to do that.
I love it. I love it.
We'll get that. You can make a phone call to Ray. We'll make that happen.
All right. That would be cool.
Yeah. And what when you talk to him, would you let him know that he needs to fix I-26 and keep our grass cut around here? And can he I'm trying to think of all the other problems that people pin on Coach Tanner. Phil, fill me in here.
Yeah.
Everything's his fault, right?
I mean, yeah, absolutely everything. The construction mess on 26 is definitely his fault. That intersection of 20 and 26, I mean, my goodness, I don't know how long it's going to take him to get that done.
The Gulf of Tonkin incident that caused that's the Vietnam War.
Gulf of Tonkin,
way back. Yeah. If Ray could have gone back in, the 60s, I don't think we would have had the Vietnam War. It would have saved a lot of lives, but I pin that on Tanner for sure.
Big time. Yeah. It's funny. When I was listening to Smoke last night,
New Coke was Ray's idea. A lot of people don't know that. Came up with, I said, Ray, what are you doing? He said, Mike, I got a better formula. We got to give it a shot. Clearly, the man he's just got some bad ideas.
He can screw Mike, it all up.
Did I ever tell you the story when I was on the raid? I was on hold. We were in Omaha 2010. I was on hold with, I think, 107.5 the game. To do with like a spot the day after we lost to Oklahoma. So we lost game one. So we have the off day and we're staring at Arizona State. So we're staring at 2-Q in the tournament in the College World Series. And they were the number one seed, I believe. And I'm on hold and there's a caller on hold when they put you on hold, you're listening to the show.
Right.
So I was listening to the show, this caller call in. And I mean, the game is past Ray Tanner by. Get him out of here. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, we're going to go 0-2, and it's embarrassing to our school and our baseball program. We're in College World Series. We're in Omaha. We're eating freaking milkshakes at Zesto. One of the 8 teams left. He's getting ramrodded. And I think after that game, we won 22 in a row. We did just fine. The game
did thank God for that guy. Saved everything.
The other side of that story is if it's a show I think you were on hold for, the host probably kept you on for 2.5 hours because
I'm not going to come.
The longer I keep Holbrook on, the less content I come up with. So let's just keep him on for 2.5 hours. There used to be jokes in the building when I was there. And again, the host shall remain nameless to say, Holbrook's on again. It's like December. I guess they're going to ask him, what kind of eggnog he makes and what's a great recipe. Have him on for the full 3 hours. Like there's a good way to have a guest on, and then there's just abusing the privilege. I mean, you might want to give Chad a breather between appearances. You're not paying him to come on. No. He loves it. Okay.
Yeah. And that's one of the things Coach Tanner would always – you can't say no to the media. And, if they ask you to go
and
on,
he,
say
yeah. No, he was always good at that. Like, he didn't just start going on with the media when things went well in, like, 2000. No. I mean, he was doing interviews in 98, 99. He was doing interviews after 05, getting bounced in the regional to Georgia Tech. He was doing you name it. He always stood up, came to the plate, good, bad, or indifferent, and he got it. And I was always impressed by that because a lot of coaches, they can't find a microphone quickly enough when you're winning. And then they hide behind the SID when they're losing. Oh, yeah, no, he's not available right now. He's got some commitments. Oh, does he really? Kind of funny. He didn't have those commitments when he won 9 in a row. But all of a sudden, those commitments came up when you lose 7 out of 8 and you're scuffling.
Yeah. Yep. We were scuffling 1 year. And we were playing Vanderbilt on Thursday night in Founders Park. And it was our lean year at South Carolina when I was the head coach. And Feinbaum. And there, and the whole deal was on the concourse. And Ray said, I think we just lost Thursday night to Vanderbilt by a big number. And I mean, we got boat raced. And and the next night, Feinbaum wanted me on the show, and that's when the waters were rough. And I remember Ray saying, "Hey,
you get your ass up there and you stand tall and and you answer those questions from the heart. And in the interview couldn't have gone better. And actually that night, the Friday night, the set game two, Jack Winecoop pitched a complete game. And we actually came back and won that series after losing like 17-1, I think, or something
how
like that.
How about
that? On game one. But I remember Ray giving me that advice. Hey, you sit tall and you stand tall.
Yeah.
Every great program goes through this, and you're going to run toward that mic, not away from it.
That's right. It's called manning up. And if you were going to work for Ray, you better do it. I'll just say this because I know we're up against it. You know, my favorite interview with you. We used to do, before the SEC Network launched, CSS had one half of the SEC tournament every year. So I did it. I was on one half. We had two different crews. So one would do the early session, one would do the night session. This particular year, I'm doing the night session. So the first two games, I'm like at a sushi restaurant in Hoover, Alabama, enjoying my spicy tuna roll. I'm already prepped. And I'm ready to go for the two late games. And then I get a phone call. The guy who was doing the early sessions, a guy named Matt Stewart, who used to be all over SEC baseball on CSS, which, by the way, CSS did as good a job as anybody with that event because they put all their resources into it. And for those who don't know, Comcast is owned by NBC. So we had we were nominated for Emmys. Like we had like technology, the quad bot, everything. But I get a phone call because, Mike, can you go ahead and be here and finish up the South Carolina game? I can't remember who you all were playing. And I was like, what do you mean? I said, Matt's got like food poisoning or something. He's not feeling well. So he's like, how soon can you be here? I'm like, well, I'm right across the street at the sushi joint. Like, okay, come on over. So I come on over and I put my headset on. And like within 30 seconds, the producer's like, oh, yeah, we're interviewing Chad Holbrook here. Oh, we are? Okay. And somehow you had found out that Matt had to leave and I came in and right off the bat, you're like, hey, Mike, nice job out of the bullpen. Good to talk to you. And then we did the interview and I think y'all won the game, if I'm not mistaken. But that was the craziest deal, man, just racing over there to do it. And thankfully, obviously, I knew your team really well. So the prep part, even though I wasn't prepping for that specific game, I was pretty well tuned in.
Was that the game? Was the game we beat Kentucky and T.J. Hopkins hit a home run? I'm trying to remember that interview.
I can't remember.
But we share, like me and you share in those. I mean, heck, the bus rides that we've been on. I mean,
oh gosh,
the stories that we have are
yeah. Alone, man.
You know, me and you, I think here's what we need to do. I'm just going to throw it out there because me and Coach Tanner haven't spoke lately. But me and you and Coach Tanner in Charleston in the Chim Music Studio, I think that could be an awesome conversation.
Bring it.
I'm throwing out the invite to Coach because I owe the man the world and I think I was from time to time I did some good things for him. Maybe we can chat.
Oh, no doubt, and we both think the world of him. But the statute of limitations has passed where there's some stories that I couldn't tell before that we probably could share now.
I'm telling them some funny stuff. But the guest I had on today, incredible story talking about statute of limitations. He ran Shania Twain's gig. The Woman in Me album, he's responsible for. All her tours, he's responsible for. I mean, the guy's amazing. He said one day, Shania Twain sent him a text and said, hey, Luke, can you call this really famous resort and see if they have a room for me for the weekend? And because I know you know the general manager there. And he goes, sure, Shania, I'll do it. No problem. He sent a text and said, hey, such and such, do you have a room? Shania wants to spend 3 days at your resort this weekend. Would you have a room for her? You can say no. I don't give a crap what you say, yes or no. I don't give a shit if she comes or not. But can you see if you have a room? And he pushed send, and it wasn't to the GM. It was back to Shania. And there was a few other words in there, you know, in that text that would make the relationship a little icy, you know. But, the statute of limitations had run out on that was my point. Glad to share that story today. Yeah.
There's certain stories that like I've kept on ice for about 10, 15 years, then the statute's running out. I might be able to share some things that I wouldn't have before. Nothing like terrible.
And that's what we're going to harm week. Anybody. That's what we're going to do next week with Stephen Garcia. The statute's run out on some of those stories, the Alabama game. The rumors of what happened the night before the Chick-fil-A game, the Chick-fil-A bowl in Atlanta. You know, we're going to go there and have some great conversation with Stephen next week. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, that's
he will. He doesn't care.
No. Yeah. Oh, I know. And it's related. The fist, the cuss with Spurrier. It's going to be a great conversation.
Funny thing is, they're tight. You know, Jerry still sends him cookies every year for his birthday. So,
there's been a moment in athletics in which our teams have played almost the perfect game. And I can't wait to talk to him about that game with Alabama. You know, yeah. I mean, God, what a game he played on an incredible stage. I mean, and he'll forever be Gamecock glory, lore. I mean, for those 3 hours on that Saturday afternoon against number one Alabama, I can't wait to dive in that.
I tell him all the time. Like, dude, you were so locked in that day. You were so locked in that from the 20-yard line, you underhanded a pass off the crossbar on the goalpost out of your
own end zone. We're going to talk to him about that. But think about how many NFL players were on that field that day. That Saturday afternoon, on that day, how many NFL players were on that field?
Yeah.
One of my former football partners, Barrett Jones, 4-year starter at O-line, was in that game for Alabama and Nick Saban. And he says, Mike, I still have nightmares of hearing Sandstorm for 3.5 hours during that butt whooping. He says it was the hardest loss that he took at Alabama. Of course, they didn't lose many. Yeah. The hardest loss that he ever took at Alabama was that game in Columbia.
Yeah. Well, that was a great, great Saturday afternoon. We had a bunch of recruits there and, you know, and fast forward, you know, to the next season, that was a fruitful Saturday for our baseball program too, because we got some recruits and we won a national championship because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going into that fall, the fan base felt really, really good because y'all had just won a national championship. And of course, amazing. Coach Spurrier gave y'all a bunch of credit for it too. We'll let you run, man. I know you got, you know, things like practice.
1:30 stretch today. I'm 5 minutes away. We're good.
We're good.
The Cougs are playing some good ball. We're going to go out there and get on the field and enjoy. We might take the tarps off today. Every now and again, after a win, turn the music on, sun's out, take the shirts off, bang a few balls out of the park, get a few grounders, get ready
to play.
Sun's
out, guns out.
Yep, sun's out, guns out today, baby, at Patriots Point.
Yeah, shoot, man. It's a good day for it. Nice and sunny and warm and you're winning. You can do that stuff when you're winning.
Yeah, you don't do it when you lose, baby. When
you're getting your ass beat, you don't want to be doing that.
Put the whole uni on when you get your ass beat.
I'll holler at you. Did you get that song I sent you today?
I'm diving in big time tonight. Me and Jen on the back porch. And I love music, man. I can't wait to dive in. Thanks for sending me that.
Yep, I'll get with you later so we can get your promo stuff out for the new episodes of Chin Music. But and then we'll talk to you next week or something like that. But give Miss Jen a hug for us.
Thanks y'all guys for having me on. It's always a great great highlight of my week. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Chad.
Appreciate you got it, brother. Chad. Thanks, man. There you go, Chad Holbrook, the head coach at the College of Charleston. I need to remember to say that first. Also, the host of Chin Music. Pardon me.
It's like whenever I put him in descriptions or things like that, I was like, I just pick one. You know, it was like, okay, today he's the head baseball coach at College of Charleston, and you know, next time he'll be the host of Chin Music. And
yeah, they had their game. I think it was yesterday, and Iceberg like tweeted a photo out, like, look who's here at the game. And it was on the front row. It's like, look, coach is here. And I just kind of laughed because, like, you mean Coach Holbrook? Like, Jen Holbrook? She was sitting in the front row, but she was sitting next to Roy Williams, so I knew what he was talking about. But Jen's kind of the real, you know, she's the real coach. All right, when we return, Mike will jump into his Chevy 2500 and take us on a drive around the SDC.
Not just Chevy.
Chevy. Did I not say Love Chevy? Love Chevy.
The one we acquired from Love Chevy.
Love Chevy. We love to love, and we love to love Chevy.
Well, We're going to love a lot of it here in just a minute because we're going to go on a nice cruise around the Southeast here, springtime.
Here we
cruise.
Go. A lot of crazy stuff happening right now, some of which could indirectly affect Carolina, maybe even directly. We'll see.
Nice teaser. Hang tight. Hour three coming up.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Touchdown Brewer. Set up a screen, and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown Brewer, his second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer. Turns the corner. Touchdown, number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer. Ryan Brewer Fence, the website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina. And we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.